Hello, hello, and welcome to the March Metroplexity Podcast. This is Kinnack, also known as Landon Winkler, coming back to you. Really, actually, coming back in a lot of senses. I've been not sure, you know, if everybody listens to every podcast, so if you're not quite up to speed, I was sick for really pretty much about a month. Spent the entire month doing really nothing but sitting on the couch and watching things on Hulu and Crunchyroll, which, you know, really, like, after you just, like, sit down and watch, like, an entire season and a half of Highlander and, like, the entirety of many anime series, really, like, is kind of a drag. I'm not as big a fan of television as a lot of people, but there comes to be a point where, like, you really just want to do something useful, and I was still sick for about 2 weeks after that point, so crankiness ensued. But and then we went on vacation down in Florida, which was nice. Got to visit my mom and some of Liz's relatives, who conveniently live, like, right across the lake from each other, which is pretty cool. Didn't end up getting to make fun of any Scientologists this time. We didn't really go downtown, Tampa Bay, which is where they all live, but both, you know, the relatives I mentioned and the Scientologists. They've got some sort of big, spaceship there or something. Let's see. Oh, and then, yeah, obviously I received my old job back, which is pretty exciting from a financial perspective, and actually really boring from a job perspective, because it's just, like, I never really forgot any of it. So it's very much been an exercise in, like, oh, like, these three things changed, like, I can just return seamlessly back to work after figuring those out. Like, oh, our encryption software is even more broken than it always was. And, like, a couple of procedures have changed, because the people who were involved in the procedures got, you know, laid off or retired. But, yeah, that's kind of where I've been at. Let's see. Oh, this weekend, I've been getting back into the swing of things. The idea, obviously, now that I'm back at work and can't really do much during the days, is switching over to, you know, working on Metroplexity at nights and on weekends. This weekend is the first one I've really gotten to crank things out, and I've been working on the March donation item, which is pretty friggin' cool, actually. It's probably my favorite since the puzzle box. Which is high praise coming from me. I don't know how much other people favor various items, but it's pretty sweet. So hopefully we'll have that out in March, being March's donation item, but you'll have that. I'd say we're half or so of the way done, but it's pretty cool already. I could probably release it now and nobody would cry too hard, but there's another couple layers of awesome that I'd like to drizzle on there. So there's that. Let's see. So if you've been wondering, like, okay, so, like, we've gotten all the plot twists out of the way, right? Like, we've got the sickness, we've got the, you know, vacation to visit family that was already planned, we've got the getting a job back, like, alright, we've got the trifecta, but, you know, there's always just that right in the gut, right at the end there, and I don't think it'll actually be a big deal, but I do think it's hilarious, in that we are going, almost assuredly, like, tomorrow, going into contract on a house, and moving in, like, 2 months, and I don't think it'll be a big deal. It's kind of a fixer-upper, but Liz is doing the fixing-upping, and I'm doing the sitting in my office and being totally normal. So aside from, you know, the requisite couple days of moving, maybe a couple days of lack of internet access, everything should be A-okay with that. Like I said, I just think that's hilarious. I actually have not had a podcast since my vacation. I don't think it's before my vacation. Wow. Okay. Well, before I get into answering questions, then I'm going to have to share terrifying awesomeness with you. So we were down in Florida, and Liz is it's one of the student groups that Liz works with is at a university not far from Disney World or Disneyland, whichever one's down in Florida. I think it's World. Several of their members got us comp tickets, so we ended up going to Disney, which was pretty hilarious. And Epcot, which was also pretty awesome. And so we got to see Disney's vision of the future, which was, I guess, is extra deeply ironic for me, because it's just so half of Metroplex City's setting, like, the half that you guys don't really get to see, because your characters aren't particularly, traveling the circles of the rich. But it's like, wow, yeah, actually, that's pretty much, like, exactly the kinds of houses, or rather, condos, typically, you could see downtown. That was kind of amusing. And, the usual wandering around, taking rides, and going to Space Mountain, and so forth. But more terrifying than that, and, yeah, just, wow. We went to we were promised a organ pizza karaoke place. So however you want to combine those three concepts, but there was, and by organs, of course, I mean the giant, mechanical musical instruments, not the, not like pizza with like liver on it or something, because that would be kind of not okay. But yeah, it was, as it turned out, there was not any karaokeing the night that we went, which was probably for the best. You don't want to hear me karaokeing. Nobody wants to hear me karaokeing. But, yeah, that was, I'm not going to say the highlight of the vacation, exactly, but it was definitely pretty epic. It was totally a, old-school, vaudeville style organ, which is really cool. So it had all the, sound effects and stuff. So way, way more, intricate and interesting and, crazy. I'm trying to remember. Ruth Goldberg. Rube? Goldberg? Goldberg. We'll just say Goldberg. Than a church-style organ. But, yeah. There was a lot of cool and really fantastic food. Okay. Anyway, that was my vacation, in brief. And we went to, of course, Jamba Juice, because that's what you do. Oh, and the Melting Pot. And if you have a Melting Pot in your area, go to the Melting Pot. Fondue is fantastic. So, that was my, 3 minutes of letting myself ramble about my vacation, so. Now on to questions. Raziel, son of Cain, let's see. Mostly saying that I do better development work if I'm not, starving and am healthy. And this is definitely true. And it's also nice to not have to worry quite so much about finances, which is a huge weight off my shoulders. Huge, huge weight. The last couple of months have actually been pretty rough just from a health point of view. Not that, I've come down with any, major illness, in the sense that, I haven't gotten, even pneumonia or bronchitis or anything like that. But just, I might have bronchitis. But it's just been, I kind of got the flu and, kept having the flu and eventually, stopped having the flu for, an hour and then started having, a really bad cold and, still kind of coughy, from that. So if my voice sounds weird, that's why. That's kind of been, my life, over the past couple of months. Being at work, it's been very much a trial since I've been, I do phone support, from actually the computer that's sitting next to my Metroplexity computer. I guess a personal computer, we'll say. I obviously use it for surfing the web and stuff, too. But, yeah. So, I'm still actually pretty coffee, but the bad part is gone. Like, I just really, really need to stop being sick. But, like, I can work now, which is really all that I was waiting for. And a side note, can't wait for the unearthly item. It's going to be the first 2-coin item that will be able to actively spade from the very beginning. Yay! It
really depends on the person, but I think a lot of people really enjoy spading those items and, like, you know, the other stuff I put out.
And I definitely enjoy, you know, hiding stuff in them. So, it kind of works both ways. This one's definitely going to be a doozy. There's a lot of content going in there. And, not going to apologize if it's late exactly, just because it's full of awesome. I should say something about the donation items. I'm not expecting to stop doing donation items now that I have a job for two reasons. One of them is, like, money is still by no means, like, not tight. I'm not really making that much more than I was on unemployment. But also because, like, there will be a day, some point in the future, where I can stop having my job and start working on Metroplexity full-time again, without the, you know, soul-crushing despair involved in knowing that I won't have enough money to, like, have somewhere to live, when unemployment runs out. So, keeping up with the donation items, if nothing else, just so I know when that is. Also, obviously, you know, keeping up on server costs and Puyo, who will hopefully be moving out to Columbus. Should be moving out pretty soon. The apartment that our friends have prepared for her is pretty much almost done. I think, like, they have to paint some trim or something, and that's it. Which is pretty cool, because, like, when they took the ceiling down, apparently there had been, like, a wood-fired stove there or something like that at some point, and it just, when they took the ceiling down, so much ash came out of it that it seriously looked like the room had been gutted by fire. Like, it was just, like, black. They had to clean that. And, on completely unrelated notes, replace the floors and paint the walls, which is why they just took the ceiling down without worrying about it too much, but it was, yeah, that apartment was a mess, but it's really nice now, actually. Puyo's getting a pretty good deal on it, which is cool. Let's see. That reminds me. I talked last time about Liz getting to go somewhere cool that I couldn't talk about at the time. So, to get everybody into the loop, my wife works for an organization called the Secular Student Alliance, which does organization and, like, support for non-theist groups on college campuses. So, like, you know, if you have a local atheist or Pastafarian on campus, or, you know, agnostic or skeptic, or any of the, like, several dozen labels that they might use for themselves, the Secular Student Alliance kind of brings everybody together and organizes them, and does grants and gets them speakers and all that sort of happy stuff. So, right after we finished our vacation, I came back here to Columbus, and Liz, along with the couple that actually owns the apartment that I was just talking about, which is why I tangented, who are Liz's boss and Amanda, his wife, who runs an organization called CamQuest, which is also a secular organization, but it's just a college camp for kids so that they don't get, you know, go to Boy Scout camp, get harassed by the Boy Scouts. Not explicitly talking about sexual abuse there. I should clarify that. They're talking more about, like, the whole religious indoctrination thing that some, but by no means all of the troops do. Or, you know, going to, you know, Christian camp. Which a lot of times are, like, your options, which is kind of creepy. But anyway, that's what CamQuest is there for.
And so the three of them, along with it's like 50 or 60 other people, got to meet with some folks from the Obama administration, which is like the first time that we're aware of that non-theist groups actually got to talk to the administration on any sort of meaningful level, which is pretty sweet. They'd got to talk about the two organizations that I'm talking about, the one Liz works for and the one that Amanda runs, are both like kind of, you know, like kid focused, but they were talking about stuff like they had a Department of Defense guy there, a high Department of Defense guy, talking about like discrimination and indoctrination in the military, which is a huge, huge problem. As far as just like there are a lot of people that are very like very uncomfortable with it, and probably like a lot more people who would be okay with joining the military or okay with staying in the military who aren't, because like it's pretty intense, like unpleasantly, like weirdly intense. And talking about some of the stuff like there are a lot of states where if you're abusing your child for religious reasons, like it's a-okay. I kid you not, like that was one of the things they were talking about, kind of being like, hey, like really, like we don't feel like we should even have to bring this up, but since we're here, could you please like stop these sorts of laws, because that's just insane. And there was one more thing that's not jumping to mind immediately, but anyway, they got to the three of them along with some other folks. And they didn't do, like, any of the presentations or anything. I just thought it was really cool that they were getting to be in on this, like, really pretty historic meeting. Like, they got the folks on Fox News talked about how, you know, atheists were, you know, conspiring with the White House, and how religious people never had, you know, this level of access when, like, Obama's met with, like, 60 or 70 different religious groups, like, directly rather than through staffers and, you know, regular prayer breakfasts during the last administration, like, obviously never happened in Fox News land, but, anyway, you know you're doing a good job when Fox News starts telling you that you're, you know, condemning the country to destruction, so that was pretty cool. Anyway, that totally aside, next donation was gonna be awesome, and I was talking a little bit about, yeah, dumping my job eventually, yeah, I think that was everything. If I didn't coalesce all of my trains of thought there, hassle me about it in the follow-up thread, and I'll sort things out for you. Llama Man. Other than the five outfits we know of, MBR Scrubs, Slag Suit, Spilly Finery, Sailor Suit, and I guess Scaly Suit. Are there any that we don't know about? And if not, do they have an obvious effect, or is it something obtuse, like adds 0.5 to melee defense 10% of the time invisibly? Well, I mean, they're kind of obtuse. I mean, there are more, sorry. But they're kind of obtuse in the same way that, like, the Serpent suit, so to speak, is obtuse. I mean, there are things which combinations of items will unlock that are sometimes pretty obvious and sometimes are pretty hard to notice, or like just don't come up often, like the Serpent stuff. But yeah, no, there are definitely more outfits than that. You'd actually have a much more complete list if different stuff had happened at Halloween, but hopefully nobody will yell at the Eclipse people more for me saying that. In Hell's Building, there's a bunch of very descriptive non-combats on the stairs detailing various rock traps and pitfalls that we can't do anything to. Were they originally planned as puzzles and unimplemented placeholders for the future, or just ambiance? Mostly ambiance. There was some consideration of being able to change those. It just didn't end up being worth the effort, really. I kind of hate to say it that way, but, like, it was never really a big, I'm losing whatever word I want to use there, but there was never enough of an effect to make it worth going through and coding them. If there was some consideration at the beginning that you might have to go up to the top and then come back down, which is still, you know, more realistic than anything, but if I'd done that, I probably would have done some more interesting stuff there. But I decided against that to just kind of go up once, and then I figure you can find your own way back down. On a similar note, is there anything behind the Fairly High XP for looking at the Overlook on the 5th floor climb? I think that's been spaded already. Like, I'm almost positive that it has. So double-check the wiki, and if it's not on the wiki, hassle people, I guess. You should be able to find out. Like, there's some stuff going on there, but it's not... I don't think that there's anything that's... I think there is stuff other than the high XP which has already been found. How about that? is there, in fact, a way to do something other than fight Dr. Johnson? Yeah, of course. Once you get the 10 XP from the Slug's medical file, you get the same message every day with the last bit randomized. Is there anything else you can do with it? I guess we're seeing the primary purpose of that item from different ends. I mean, the XP is just kind of gravy. That item is actually there to show you a little bit of, to give you a little bit of insight into how Midgard is doing things and what they're doing and what they think they're doing, what the doctors think they're doing. More the doctors, I guess, than, like, the management. The XP is just there because I figured that I'd add some game effect to the item to make it worth, you know, spending the energy to get a couple of them. Now that I've confirmed that you can't, I think, can there be a way to give the creator stolen medicines to the subway mutants or take it and become a sewer mutant? There isn't any connection between those two at all. The Squatter King talks about, like, needing medicine for kids. The TV show talks about, like, kids lurking in the sewers, and, like, there are obviously mutants in the sewers, and, like, I could see how those three things could get connected. But, like, the medicine there, like, if you took all of the medicine in there, all that would happen is, well, you'd probably, like, perforate your colon or something, because you shouldn't take that much antibiotics, like, in a sitting. That would probably be bad. You need to eat a lot of yogurt or something, I don't know. But, yeah, no, like, the stuff in the crate is not, like, special. It's just medicine that is actually really common for rich people, like, the type of stuff that you could go to a doctor and get now, and is not related to the sewer mutants. So it's just, like, antibiotics and vaccines, which is why he wants it and is kind of pissed off that they can't just, like, get enough money to buy it and have to steal it from people. That's not here, though. Also, on that note, I found a message about the eyes watching you from your skin while having the pulsating eye equipped, with the rising flesh effect going. Is this due to some Nightmare Fuel destroying angel interaction? I think I saw somewhere that you spaded that and figured out that it wasn't, but... and if so, should there be one for the Disgusting Slug and or others? I just go ahead and spade that harder, and it will become clearer what the answers to your questions are, if you haven't already. Let's see. Oh, a bunch of questions from Al. I've been meaning to suggest a bulk discount for cooking or crafting a whole bunch at this time. And I see that you already put in that long ago for sushi. It's not exactly a bulk discount. But thanks. I hope that other crafts get similar skills. Inch mile, yes, I know. I mean, there's stuff like that in there that's generally applicable already. So, I guess I can't be too to inch mile, because there's, like, I guess, is it inch mile, and if you put the inch in and the mile's already there and people are asking for the mile? I don't know. There will obviously be more stuff that links into crafting. I'm one of my, like, this makes me sound like some sort of pompous jackass, but one of my central, like, design tenets is that crafting is an important part of the game, and so it needs to link into everything else. So, for example, actually probably a really good example is a hacking system, which isn't itself linked into the rest of the game entirely, but, like, trying to do hacking without crafting is probably going to be an exercise in pain, really. Like, that's not an easy thing to do. And then, like, getting good food and drugs without crafting is also pretty hard, although not as hard. But that also applies in reverse. So, like, there are, you know, items and skills and, you know, entire donation items that link back into crafting. And I think that's really cool and really important. So I guess, expect to see more of that in the future, so you don't have to worry about, you know, me forgetting about crafting at some point. I like the puzzle boxes story. I'm learning all of those Norse myths. It's really neat. Oh, cool. I'm glad that I could introduce someone to a neat bit of history and literature. The Norse myths are sort of a special place in my heart, which is handy because it means that I could give people their Midgard code names without, like, looking through an entire book, like if I were trying to give them, like, I don't know, code names based on Hindu deities or something. I hadn't realized before quite how awesome the power of this is, but if I wanted to, I could probably give every Midgard NPC who will be named in the entire game, like, from now, like, from, like, the beginning through, like, ever, I could probably name them all various titles of Odin's. I had not realized how many titles he had, which is pretty epic. Not that I would, like, it would be really epic weird, but he's got some pretty sweet titles. There's actually a halfway decent list on Wikipedia, but you can find a lot more of them, too. Norse myths are pretty sweet. When I was going through junior high and high school, I was a very argumentative sort of person. And so, like, I'm the sort of guy who will tend to take the opposite argument of someone else just to, you know, be a dick. Or, you know, I guess you could say make them think harder about their positions, but, like, really at the time it was just me, like, getting my intellectual rocks off. It wasn't a great community service. But one of the things that I would often pull is cragging out with the old Norse myths against, like, whatever religious belief the person I was arguing against actually had. And it's pretty interesting, actually, how people react to various interpretations of Norse myth. And obviously, it's the sort of thing where, like, you know, like, there's, like, hundreds and hundreds of versions of Christianity and of Islam and, you know, a bunch of different kinds of Judaism and a bunch of different kinds of, you know, Hindus and Buddhists and all sorts of stuff. So, you can definitely kind of pick and choose when you're arguing with someone who doesn't know the source material, which I did because I'm a giant jerk, but, or at least it was, in junior high and high school. But it's interesting to be able to go into an argument about, say, you know, heaven, and, you know, if you pray, you know, God will forgive your sins and let you into heaven, and bust out with, a lot of interpretations of Valhalla, which, I mean, certainly looks nothing like the Christian heaven that most people would talk about, but, like, is kind of like the same general
vein of afterlife, and in some, you know, interpretations, it comes across as, you know, you have to, you know, worship, you know, the Norse gods, and, you know, if you do and, like, die as a badass, they'll send a Valkyrie for you. And in other interpretations, it's really just like if you die as a badass, they'll send a Valkyrie for you. Like, that's just how it works. It's just, like, the rule. The latter argument, I think, was actually a particularly striking argument for a lot of people. Yeah. Anyway, I think the Norse myths are really neat. And I think that, like, both the characters involved and, like, the many versions of the characters involved are pretty cool. I think they've suffered some disservice in that, like, Wagner, really. Like, I like Wagner. Like, I think that he actually writes pretty good operas. Like, long. Very, very long. But, it's kind of like the Inferno, like Dante's Inferno. Like, you can't really talk to anyone about, you know, I should say Divine Comedy rather than Inferno, but you can't talk to anybody about, like, heaven or hell or purgatory without really just having a discussion about Dante's Inferno. Like, that's really just what you're talking about. And the Norse myths kind of, you get the same thing with Wagner. A lot of his ideas and symbolism and sort of, like, reimaginings of the original myths come across as the original myths, which is fine. I mean, whatever, but I think that that's one of those things that's important to recognize, in that, like, Midgard is, like, the people who give out the code names at Midgard, which was originally, spoiler, or something. It was originally, Lo's boss, Votan. That's why he got the sweet name. He's the one who started that set of, that type of code naming. I might be mentioned in Lo's text somewhere, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything to anyone other than the person naming them. So if the person naming them, you know, doesn't have any idea, like, it doesn't hold any, you know, great power, except in a, you know, earthy sort of sense. And before I start talking about how the names of things interact with the things themselves, I am going to move on to the next question. Will we see Midgard protectors on any random sites on the net? Or only on the computer systems found in game? The Midgard security programs. Midgard is not primarily like an IT outfit. They don't mainly do programming. Their main business is in drones, really, and other, like, industrial equipment. So probably not. You'll see a lot of the main two, you know, players, as with most things, in the corporate world, are Omnitech and Zebatsu. And Omnitech is kind of like, I don't want to say like the Microsoft, because that's not actually really accurate, but if you want just like cheap, off-the-shelf software, Omnitech has subsidiaries that will provide it for you. So, like, if you wanted to go into, like, the equivalent of a Walmart and get your, you know, firewall software, it would probably be Omnitech. If you wanted to go into, like, an actual, like, computer store and get, like, your actual, like, legitimate firewall software, it would probably be Zaibatsu. And there are obviously, like, second-tier companies that also focus on that sort of thing. So, like, I mentioned this before, but Midgard is actually in that second tier. They're just really important in Metroplex, because they basically, you know, own the city. But in a global sense, it would be weird to, like, go to a construction site and not see some, or a construction site or a factory, and not see some Midgard stuff there. But it's weird to, like, walk down a street any street, a Nazi army tech and lots of stuff. In, like, the broader world, obviously. It's a little different in Metropolis. So, also, hacking PvP. Hacking PvP actually is really, really planned. Like, I know exactly how it's going to work, but I just haven't... it's one of those things that I haven't been able to justify putting everything else on hold to implement it. It's going to be really cool once I do, or at least I'm really excited about it, but... I was actually going to do that a while ago, but just didn't happen. Actually, one of the things that I think, you know, having a job now that I'm kind of on my feet will help out with a lot is that there were times while I was unemployed that, like, you kind of enter this fugue state, like, the days kind of blur together, and, like, especially if you're, you know, also kind of depressed because you're not sure, like, if you're ever going to get a job or if, like, kind of point will just run out, you'll, you know, not be able to make your apartment payments, etc. It can really cut down on productivity, which sounds really kind of dumb now, you know, after having gone through the entire, like, oh, you know, it's horrible, depressing situation, like, means development time has slowed down, but it's kind of the truth. Well, it's really the truth. So I think, even though I have less time, like, in a day, I think that there will be a little more consistent progress, at least, you know, as I learn how to sort out social obligations, particularly, because there's stuff going on, like, almost every night, and if I don't bow out of a lot of things, I'll never get anything done. So that's kind of what I'm working on moving forward, which is fine, because, like, I'm not really much of a social creature. I just kind of got used to going to all of them while I was unemployed, because otherwise I'd stay in the house and go insane. So, there's that. Right. Looks like the old description from the Filthy Pistol had a more humorous or pop culture-y take on things. Did you originally plan this and move away from this, or why the change? That item description and a couple of others are from Alpha, from before, like, everything was really publicly available at all. And this is the same era when, you know, the bum was, you know, a frowny face with, like, little 3-pixel flies hovering above it. So, yeah. That's kind of... I mean, the tone of the game was always intended to be, like, not, like, serious, but, like, fairly dark and, like, humorous, if it is humorous, in, like, a fairly dark sort of way. And, like, don't get me wrong, like, there's definitely stuff in-game that makes me laugh uproariously, but, like, it's in more of a, I don't know, in more of a serious humor rather than, like, puns or pop culture references. And that's in no small part because, like, Kingdom of Loathing has its thing, and they do it way better than I could. I'm not going to try and copy their thing, because I would be very good at it. I'm not much of one for pop culture references, exactly, or, you know, that sort of thing. I can be funny, like, I've been actually told that I'm very funny, but I don't... I guess, like, it does not keep well most of the time. It's more of a, like... pithy one-off thing, like a read it in the item description a bunch of times thing, without any context. Is there a cap to how much perception affects item drops? That will become pretty obvious once you figure out how it affects them. I don't think you'll actually need the answer to that question. And where does the candy and pinatas come from? From Alpha. It falls through the magical vortex between, you know, pre and post, you know, public release software versions. How much do you imagine a credit as? $1? I can recycle a can for 5 cred, though. That seems like a lot, but I imagine a can is worth more than 5 cents in the future. I see credits as being a dollar-ish, but most, if not all, of the prices for things have changed really drastically with like automation and polysteel and, you know, switching over to non-meat proteins for a lot of food items and artificially producing, you know, really pretty much everything. So, it's the sort of thing where, although, I guess on average, probably, like, the credit is about a dollar, you're seeing, you know, disposable goods having really, like, been driven down by the changes in the economy, but non-disposable goods or like actual like legitimate raw materials, along with, you know, purely like entertainment items like like baseball cards. Anybody in Metroplexity's timeline bothers with baseball cards anymore? Have skyrocketed, so it kind of it balances out pretty weirdly, just because of the difference in economic situations. You mentioned before that there are some undiscovered sushi recipes. Was this referring to Sushi Chef or something else? I don't honestly remember the question that you're talking about. I remember that somebody was like, sushi doesn't seem worth it, like, is there, you know, anything that justifies the amount of energy you're putting in? And I was basically like, wait until you figure out everything about sushi. And that was, like, at least partially about Sushi Chef. Like, a large part about Sushi Chef. I'm sure that there probably are recipes nobody's found. That's kind of the way that these things tend to go. But, yeah. Can you give us a one-word hint about the next side quest, if it's not out yet? Also, any hints about the currently optional side quest will become mandatory in the future. One-word hint about the next side quest. Continuation? Did I say that before? Maybe? I don't know. I guess that's my hint. It is a continuation of a plot thread that you've seen already, which I think is pretty cool. I mean, aside from the main quest, like, I haven't really gotten to do that whole lot. Also, any hints at which currently optional side quests will become mandatory in the future? They're not exactly going to be, well, you know, there aren't any that are going to become mandatory. If you think of them more like the Dr. Thomas side quest, where you can obviously complete the main quest without ever talking to Dr. Thomas. Okay. But having done so opens up different options in the main quest. That's more like what you'll see. Okay. Would you consider adding more gradient levels to the I'm not going to bother to answer anything about fishing skill. I apologize. Also not going to bother to answer anything about extreme bass player, sorry. For anyone who wonders, there's a post I made on a thread about a Grease Monkey script for keeping track of your fishing skill that kind of sets that down, like what's going on. I'm not really interested in screwing around with that right now, to be perfectly honest. Like, even if I wasn't really behind in things, I'm pretty sure that I would have better stuff to do. Like, people really, really seem to care and, like, have bugged me a lot. If people seriously want me to drop everything and do it, go ahead and post in that thread. And I will. I don't know why you'd want me to. But, like, it's not hard. It's just I will have to rewrite fishing. Which, I mean, doesn't interest me at all, but, like, isn't difficult, and will only take, like, a couple of days of actual work, which might translate into, like, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks, depending on how much extra work it can be done. But, yeah. Anyway, but if you... that question was asked before the thread, though. So, obviously, not yelling at Al for bringing it up. But the, but if people want to keep talking about it, I mean, you're welcome to keep talking about it. I'll just get increasingly irritated until people either own up and say, I would rather have you fix this than do actual content development, or stop talking. I kind of lost track of where my sense was going there. So, yeah. So either, if you're going to complain about it, either own it or don't complain about it. Okay. Maybe we go. For several extremely good reasons, new content is taking a little longer than anticipated. Yeah. But no, there's still a wealth of content already in-game that we've yet to discover. So, feel like giving us any nudges towards stuff that would be new that's already in-encoded. Like, say, the undiscovered interaction you can get with the elegantly torn pants you mentioned briefly last show. I think I said last show that you'd find it really easily if you know where to look. Just to be clear on that, this is your new hint. Just to be clear on that, that is the actual grammatical you and not the DM you, which is to mean you the player, not you the character. So, that's your hint. Enjoy yourself. Now that we've found 18 different messages, have we finally plumbed the depth of the mysterious puzzle box, or are there even more secrets still hiding in there? I hesitate to say yes, because, like, the remaining thing is really trivial. I guess it technically has more game effect than, like, than the messages, but... Sorry about the pause there. I think I mentioned that I still have quite the cough going. That was me not coughing in everyone's ear that will ever listen to this. But, yeah, there is still, like, a thing which is not, you know, really worth mentioning, but, like, is there. So I would feel bad if I said that you had actually found everything, but, like, there's still a thing. And it's actually related to another thing, which is way more interesting. So, you know, maybe when you find it, it will remind you to look harder at something else. You can test something else. And, well, I guess it's related. Yeah, that's tenuous enough. I don't think it would actually help. So, and strike that. But, yeah, there's still a thing that you can find out there. Okay, and... end of the thread, and let's see, looks like even with rambling on about my my vacation, we're at about 50 minutes, so that's good. Well, thanks for listening, and thanks for playing, and thanks for, you know, putting up with my life going into turmoil, and getting back out of turmoil, and yeah, hopefully I'll have good news for you about the donation item and the side quest and the survivor's quest. So keep watching the dev blog and the updates page, and hopefully there'll be some neat stuff there for you soon. Thanks, have a good one.